Man, it is sunny and beautiful out today. Last night was an absolute gorgeous night at Target Field. However, on the field, well, we'll take the temperature of the Twins coming up. But you don't even need the fancy thermometer to give yourself a good read on the temperature of the Twins right now. What, they gave up 11 last night?
Yeah.
And I think over the last three games against the Brewers, they gave up a total of 35. So we're up to 46 in four games.
Yeah, some give or take another 38 runs or so. Yeah, somewhere in that range.
Not great. Not great. But it's always a beautiful night at the ballpark. It just is. Not that I'm making excuses for the quality of the play, but it is a great place to hang out for sure. 5:10, it's time to do the D Rush Hour news headlines. Let's do the lead.
Now, time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the D Rush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And our lead story is the ongoing conversation about Iran and how effective the U.S. attack was. Late this afternoon, multiple news organizations reporting that the initial five-page assessment, the classified report as to what our attack on Iran's nuclear program did, indicates that we didn't collapse their underground buildings. So Operation Midnight Hammer hammered the entrances to two facilities, but did not collapse their buildings. There is one bomb, and the White House disputes that report, of course. But the reality will probably take days or weeks to sort out. There was a bomb that was launched at the White House earlier today, and it was a bomb from the president himself.
I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing.
Whoa. Well, that bomb landed. That's the old F-bomb. Yeah. So what? You know, give me a break. I mean, it's fine. Do I prefer the president of the United States to not use the F-bomb? Sure. Is it a somewhat accurate way to describe the actions of Israel and Iran? You know, that's your call. That is your call. We will, hopefully, I don't know, are we ever going to know what to believe about these attacks? You know the White House will continue to talk about obliterating their competition. Let's go on to page story two. And that is the continued search for whoever was responsible for the killing of an 11-year-old boy. 11-year-old boy. Shot dead at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in a North Minneapolis park. A 29-year-old professional calf roper and a Marine who was relaxing on his North Minneapolis porch jumped in to try to be a good Samaritan. This afternoon, we know the identity of the boy. He was 11-year-old Amir Atkins. We do not know exactly what happened. We do not know who shot this kid. We do not know where the guns came from. Was the 11-year-old targeted or was he caught up in the crossfire? No answers more than 24 hours later. And I talked to the city council member for that area earlier on Drive Time, Latricia Vito.
I mean, I was out there yesterday for close to 3 hours and there was just so many rumors flying. Mm. You know, like I really don't know what happened. And that's why I'm waiting until the investigation happens to find out more. I mean, there were just so many things. What you do, leave those things with and what you wake up feeling is, what are we going to do to stop it from ever happening again? And there's so many things. It's not just about gun control. It's about, what are our children doing at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, right? Like, yeah. How did this happen? Had so many layers to it. And as a council member, that's what I'm interested in.
Right.
Finding out the facts about what happened and what can I do at the city level and who I need to work with at any level to make sure this never happens again.
That's Latricia Vitaugh from the 4th Ward, Minneapolis City Council member. There is a silver lining for sure in that Good Samaritan, Troy Young. He did a interview, a couple TV interviews, talked to the newspaper as well. But you think, like, here is another one of your neighbors who's just sitting on his porch when a boy runs by shouting that his brother had been shot. And this guy gets in his pickup truck and goes and just jumps into, he didn't know what he was jumping into.
Not at all.
Just an incredible sort of human neighbor helping a neighbor response there.
Absolutely. I'm so thankful for Troy. And he was on the scene yesterday, and I could see that he was shook up and he wanted to do better. As a community, we just have to keep encouraging him and let him know he did the right thing and he's the hero. Like I said, him and Lieutenant Hand did their best yesterday.
And
they really
Lieutenant,
did their best.
You know, you do think it is the start of summer. This is my fear, right? That here we are at the start of summer. It is a time when young people are not in school. Maybe parents are still working. You have high temperatures, more time, you know, idle mind, more time. All of these things that our parents used to say are still true. It is a challenge. It is a challenge. What do we do about it? Latricia Vitaugh did say she thinks we've been too soft on criminals. And that has to change. Next, a change in, we hope, in the way that you get your state park pass. I think this is so cool. Minnesota trying to figure out, all right, how do we get more people to visit our state parks? How do we save money? How do we make it smarter? And joining us now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is Ben Berge, DNR Northwest Regional Manager, who's been a key part of this program. Ben, tell me what you guys are thinking about doing.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Jason. And so, yeah, at DNR, we've been working with other state government and our deputy registrars here in Minnesota to think about how we can make it easier for Minnesotans to purchase a what's being called an outdoor recreation endorsement at the time that they register or renew a vehicle here in Minnesota. And so, as you mentioned, making it easier for Minnesotans, ultimately reducing what it costs right now to get into a state park and making it easier for people to invest in the outdoors and ultimately their experience is what we're aiming for. And so the outdoor recreation endorsement is a way that Minnesotans can purchase this, and again, at a opt-in, so it's not mandatory. People make a decision to purchase at the time of registration or renewal, and to be all ready to get outside when that time comes.
And you'd have some sort of scanner or something that would scan the VIN number, or it would be linked to the license plate?
Yep, so linked to a license plate in some way. Generally, there's something visible. We haven't figured that out yet. Some states put little markers on their registration tabs that denote that, you know, that someone's paid. And so, yeah, it's similar to a park pass, if you think it in that way. But the way we're visioning here in Minnesota is that it's, you know, not to steal words from Colorado, they look at it as more than a park pass. And that's something we're doing, too, as we think of Minnesotans getting outside. Many folks visit state parks. Others will visit state forest areas, state natural areas. And so making sure that we have the flexibility to maintain these outdoor spaces and the way that people have come to expect here and the great resources that we have in the state.
The money from park passes go right to operating those 73 parks, those rec areas for staffing. But we know, you know, as much as we love our state parks and facilities, we know that there's a lot of dated buildings and facilities that could use upgrades. If we could, you know, net you guys more money in a way like this, it just seems like a win-win to me.
Yeah, when you think about, you know, when we talk about this to folks, they don't always understand. What do you mean you might lower costs for an individual, but ultimately, you know, the revenues would increase? And so it's really about, you know, maximizing the amount of people that have the opportunity to purchase. And when you think about, you know, the old infrastructure we do have, it actually costs more to maintain that. It takes more staff hours to maintain that. And so we're, you know, we want to continue to be as efficient as we can, modernizing our outdoor facilities, and then ultimately being able to be efficient with the resources we have. And absolutely.
It's pretty cool. Ben Berge is a Northwest Regional Manager. He's been a part of this working group trying to figure out a new way to do the state park pass. And you think, already, I got to say, like, the state parks pass is so cheap. I mean, $35, I think it is,
right,
for an annual pass, which is unbelievable.
Yep.
But you think,
how
many of us would just opt in? You're like, okay, $14, sure. And that's what Michigan does, the $14. And they found they had 13% with the annual pass originally.
Yeah.
And now they have 40%?
Yeah, so they're pushing 40%.
Wow.
And so over about the span of 14 years, they've increased their participation, you know, over three times, and they've seen really good success. And that's something we're hoping to do here in Minnesota as well. We know Minnesotans value their outdoor time and the resources that make that time so special.
Pretty cool stuff. Very good. Appreciate your time today. And
no
appreciate
problem.
Your work on this. Ben Berge with the DNR with us on the D-Rush Hour News headlines. Thanks, Ben. We will turn the page and go to page two in just a minute. A Minnesota town that gives graduating high school seniors a heck of a gift. Don't get mad when you see a motorcycle weaving in and out of traffic. And the best cars you can buy according to Consumer Reports. That's coming up next. D-Rush Hour News headlines. It is a beautiful Tuesday. Let's start with some good news. A Minnesota town that gives graduating high school seniors a pretty amazing graduation gift, the gift of a scholarship.
Former principal Chris Dunshee and former gas station owner Royal Loven brainstormed the idea in 1987.
We'll put a big billboard outside of town on the highway and says, come to Swanville School. We give every student that graduates a scholarship.
The billboard never materialized.
Didn't have to.
But in a rural town that couldn't fill a suburban school auditorium.
Ethan Wimmer, St. John's University.
The scholarship stuck.
Pretty cool story from Swanville by Boyd Hooper to Care 11. Tiny little town of 300 plus people. The senior class got a total of $108,000. So when they first started this years ago, the average scholarship that first year was $166. This year, the average is more than 5,000 years. If you think about the ways a community can support its future, that is pretty powerful stuff. Do not get mad when you see a motorcycle weaving in and out of traffic. The law changed. It's fine. It is the new motorcycle lane splitting and filtering law. Lane splitting and filtering law. Legal starting as of July 1st. So a lot of publicity about this in advance of it, so people don't freak out when motorcycles start doing this. So the idea is when traffic is slow, so not when you're moving at highway speeds, but when traffic is slow or stopped under specific conditions, motorcycles, if they're not going more than 25 miles an hour, they can do it. So they can move between cars. They can move in between that right and left lane. The message to drivers is do not pull the Minnesotan lane blocker move. Do not be that guy, because you may get a legal penalty for doing that. And be alert. If you're in stop traffic or slow traffic, Minnesota Sportsman Recorder with a nice story about this. What are the best cars that you can buy?
A large touchscreen keeps everyone happy. The Subaru Crosstrek. Dog tested, dog approved.
Yeah. Subaru. Subaru Crosstrek ends up number one. So they put out their top 10 picks of the year. And obviously, when you're looking at new cars, brands are have differences within them. But the top five brands are unchanged. So Subaru is number one. BMW was number one. Now it's number two. It's right about the same. Lexus is in third place. Porsche and Honda. So those are your top five. So, Dan, pick your top. Do you want a Subaru, a BMW, a Lexus, a Porsche, or a Honda?
Hmm. Probably a Lexus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would take the Porsche.
Yeah, I don't trust myself with a car like that. So.
Well, and you only drive the speed limit, so what's the point?
Well, there's that.
Why? Audi moved up quite a bit. Mini and Acura both lost a little bit of ground. Kind of interesting. Cadillac fell a little bit because of their EV.
Hyundai and Kia, which is what we both drive.
Top 10, right?
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle. Right. The top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kia. Talk about a brand that was like a nothing brand.
Yeah.
I credit my ownership of the Stinger.
I mean, can't be proven otherwise.
When my friend John talked me into coming to take a test drive of this Kia Stinger, he had to convince me that it wasn't embarrassing to buy a Kia. I'm like, are you sure? It's like, come drive the car, you idiot. That's the D-Rush Hour News headlines at 5:30. Breaking news from the NBA that the Board of Governors unanimously approved the sale. Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez will officially be the owners of the Timberwolves and the Lynx when that $1.5 billion deal closes tomorrow. To get a little insight on it, we'll talk with the writer for the Minnesota Star Tribune. He's written a book about Anthony Edwards. Chris Hine joins us next.